let's get into it. We're going to skip the intro and just dive right in. Today, I thought we would deviate slightly, and I wanted to ramble for a few minutes about an interesting concept that I came into contact with in the past couple weeks, which was the idea of the philosophical etymology of the term liberalism or liberal. And I had never thought of it in this way before, but I'm currently reading a book written by the philosopher Roger Scruton, where he does a deep dive into the history of some political schools of thought. And he spends a decent amount of time talking about the historical significance of the term liberalism. And again, I had never really thought of it in this way before, so I thought it would be interesting just to talk about it for a moment. It goes back a long way. I think the first time that it is written in any sort of specific sense was the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius mentioned it a couple times in his very well-known writings, but it was really a product of the 17th century Enlightenment. It was a time where there was a large amount of monarchies, very traditional medieval style governments, where there was very little freedom for individuals. There was a lot of hereditary rule, monarchies, clergy classes, things like that. And so one of the byproducts of the Enlightenment was this concept of the idea of the rights of the individual as they relate to modes of government. The one who is credited as sort of the leading the charge with this terminology and this thought process was a man named John Locke, who wrote quite a bit about sort of a renewed concept of government and how it should relate to the individual. We see around this time there was the Glorious Revolution in the late 1600s, there was the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and all of these movements were away from traditional monarchy structures and towards what we would now consider to be a more typical free society, more democratically structured, or like the republicanism of the United States, as opposed to these very segmented hierarchical structures of the late Middle Ages. So it's interesting when we think about the modern day verbiage and the back and forth between liberal and conservative and that kind of thing. But from a zoomed out perspective, I think most Americans at some level would align themselves with a philosophically, traditionally liberal point of view. In the 20th century, the primary foil to liberalism was socialism and fascism, specifically in the early part of the 20th century when you had the world wars. And so if you think about liberalism as the other side of the spectrum from modes of government that limit the freedom of the individual, we think of it liberal in the term of freely given, freely bestowed, like he was very liberal with his money, right? If you apply that thinking to the freedoms that individuals enjoy, a society should be very liberal with its freedoms. That's kind of the thought process. So it was always a push against types of government and policy that were opposed to such freedoms, whether that was an old school monarchy with a nobility class, whether that be socialism with its differently structured hierarchy, or even in its purest form, where there is no hierarchy, but you are subject to the will of the group. And then obviously fascism, very hierarchical power structure as well. So I think that most Americans at some level would identify with classic Lockean liberalism, which as I was reading this book, I found to be very interesting. In the modern day, since the end of the Cold War, let's call it, I think the term liberal has adopted all sorts of sidecar embedded meaning that can take on a host of contexts depending on the way in which you phrase it. But it does typically represent less constraint in a very general sense. So it's interesting to think about how people who would refer to themselves as modern day liberals would relate to the idea of less hierarchy, more freedom, balancing that against schools of thought that say, well, some structure certainly is needed and some hierarchy seems to always be manifesting itself. So the interplay between those two ideas is very fascinating. So I thought I'd share that. As I continued to read this book, I also got another book by an author named Russell Kirk, who I just learned about, who apparently is a very well-regarded author in American political literature who I had never heard about until today. So I bought his most popular work, and I'm looking forward to reading that after I finish this one by Roger Scruton. But that's all the news to report for today. Hopefully you found this interesting. I'm going to experiment with some more of these topical themes as I encounter them in the wild. I am planning next time to touch upon the stewardship of the household, which I mentioned last time. I've not forgotten about it. I've been thinking more about the application of that term, stewardship, to all sorts of different things. I was out doing yard work this past weekend and was thinking about stewardship of one's property and how that's an important thing that perhaps many people haven't thought of. But that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of Escaping Left, Right, and Center. See you then.